Sweet like Pison, this is pink Pison. See, this used to be great luxury for me, rose milk. When I was in school, school means in third standard, fourth standard, like that. Not even high school, okay? And those days, for a girl from a village background, and very conservative, they won't let me to go out and all that. And my cousin used to come and to take me to a star hotel. It's a big luxury. So we had to get ready and dress up properly and then, you know, get holidays. In summer, and then I used to love cycling. He said, okay, you take your cycle and I'll take my cycle, we'll go. And then cycling, we'll go. And then sometimes what to do? Then we go out for a small thing and then we take the car, in the car cycle, and go out. And then he'll show me all our huts the weavers used to weave. And then he used to see how in India, how weavers live. And that is how I started the whole life. I made up my mind to wear only handlooms. Rather than suffering. Then he used to take me, then we go to this star hotel. Star means what? Some big hotel, okay? Posh hotel. Other than my mother now never doesn't come out to the hotels. They never go. India, we should go to hotels and all that. So I was the youngest. My sisters are not allowed because they're all elders, big girls. I was young, you see, a frock. So I could go. Once in 13, 14 minutes, that's all. And then we can't go on our own to hotels and all that. I was just... And he was take my big cousin. Cousin means she was just in the college and all that. And then we go, and then he'll order for certain things. I'll wonder which kind of food only. And then he'll get me rose milk. Well, when rose milk comes in that, oh, I want rose milk. I never knew this is a mix the color, okay? So great, big thing. For the sake of drinking rose milk, you have to go to the hotel, restaurant.
Comes from pink house. It comes from pink house.
And then we go, and then just those days, nowadays all people, everything, the whole fridge is full of things, we can mix everything. You know, nowadays, even Coimbatore. Those days, it's a big thing. Oh, and then I used to, I come back and tell my friends also, you know, had rose milk. Now I run away from it. But still today, I had a long time again, Raghupati ji gave it today. What a simple, no? Simple desires and simple things, life. But I grew out of all of them, like anything, by I became 12, 13. It's Bhagavan's grace. Okay. So, nice to start tomorrow, Dakshinamurti Stotram class from tomorrow, isn't it? New text we start. Then again, before we start another Upanishad, we'll do Dakshinamurti Stotram. Then again, I will start another Upanishad. You will really love the Dakshinamurti Stotram. You lots of clarity. So, Jnana Phalam is the main topic with some disciplines, no? Values and disciplines. Jnana Sadhanam. Jnana Phalam and Jnana Sadhanam are discussed here anyway, as I told you. Again, Jnana Phalam only comes. Sayohavai. See the ninth mantra. Sayohavai. Tat Paramam Brahma Veda. Brahmaiva Bhavati. What next word, Peter ji?
Which one?
Ma asya.
Ma, it's the M there.
Even in Swamiji's book, it's got na.
Yeah, nasya, yeah.
Nasya is correct?
Yeah.
Nasya is correct or
masya
is correct?
Na. Because in Basham, nasya. I finished doing it, I don't know how I missed it. Na asya abrahmavit kule bhavati saha yo ha vai tat paramam brahma veda. Brahmaiva bhavati nasya abrahmavit kule bhavati tarati shokam tarati papmanam guha grantibhyaha vimuktaha amrutaha bhavati vimukto mruto bhavati. Bhavati, bhavati, bhavati. How many times you have heard? I taught you this word in Sanskrit class. Bhavati, bhavan. Remember the words? Bhavan means thou, second person, singular, pronoun for masculine gender. Bhavati is a second person, singular, pronoun is thou. No, tangal. But here short bhavati. Like gachati, pathati, likhati, like bhavati. Bhavati is always used in the sense of asti. Asti na irikkirdu, is. But bhavati means happens, becomes, is. Please remember, it's very important to know the meaning of the word bhavati. Bhavati means becomes. Bhavati means happens. Bhavati means is. Bhavati also means exists. Okay? Bhavati means exists. Bhavati means is. Bhavati means happens. Bhavati means becomes. For example, now so you can say, boy becomes old. Becomes old man. Boy becomes, you know, balaha yuvakaha bhavati. Yuvakaha vriddaha bhavati. A samanyaha purushaha prathama mantri bhavati. An ordinary person, minister bhavati. Becomes, becoming. And happens also. Vrishtihi bhavati. It rains. How do you say? Vrishtihi bhavati. Atapaha bhavati. It gets hot. How do you say? Atapaha bhavati. Bhavati. Do you get the word meaning of the word bhavati now? Bhavati. And aham bhavami. When you say now? Aham bhavami. I become. So, aham bhavami. Aham bhavami. I become. I am. I become. Aham bhavami. So, here also, same way, he says, wise person bhavati. Wise person becomes. He becomes what? What does the wise person become? No? He say, saha, say no? Saha bhavati. Saha kim bhavati? He says here, what does he become? He says, brahmaiva bhavati. He becomes Brahman himself. Brahmaiva bhavati. Saha brahmaiva bhavati. He knows Brahman, not that he recognizes Brahman. Now he will, no. He is Brahman himself. Brahmaiva bhavati means Brahmame ahiran. He becomes Brahman himself. That means what? He recognizes himself being Brahman. Recognizing one's own swarupam being limitless reality consciousness is oneself becoming Brahman. There's no way of one becoming Brahman. See, wave can never become H2O. Wave is already H2O. On recognition, where in non-recognition, wave is just the wave. On recognition, wave as though becomes H2O, but wave already is H2O, isn't it? So recognizing one's own Swarupam being already Brahman, the pure consciousness, is what now? One becoming Brahman. Here, that's why he says, Yaha Brahma Veda. He who knows Brahman, Yaha Brahma Veda, Yevanurban Paramburulai Arhirano, Yaha Brahma Veda, which Brahma? Paramam Brahma Veda, one who knows the absolute reality, the pure consciousness, which is the very existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness, one who knows that Paramam Brahma, he knows means what? He knows means he knows the Brahman as one's own self. He knows the Brahman not as an object outside of himself, but as one's own self, as the very knower. One who recognizes Brahma Chaitanyam as one's own self, as the very subject of knowledge. Isn't it? Such a person, Yaha Brahma Veda, Tat Paramam Brahma Veda, Saha Brahma Yeva Bhavati. Once you know Brahman, you are Brahman. If you do not know Brahman, you are ordinary person. So ordinary man. If you know Brahman, you are Brahma. If you do not know Brahma, you are not Brahma. Is it? If you know Brahman, you are Brahma. If you do not know Brahma, you are not Brahma. You are a limited individual. So, Yaha Brahma Veda, Yaha Tat Paramam Brahma Veda, Saha Brahma Eva Bhavati. Repeat the sentence now. Yaha Tat Paramam Brahma Veda, Saha Brahma Eva Bhavati. Brahma Eva Bhavati. He who knows that absolute reality as one's own self, no, as the very subject of knowledge, and that person is Brahman himself. That person is Brahman himself. I don't even say becomes. He is Brahman himself. If you know the self, you know Brahman. If you know Brahman, you are Brahman yourself. This is the order. If you know yourself, you know Brahman, the reality being consciousness. If you know Brahman, you are Brahman yourself. If you do not know the self, you do not know Brahman, then you are not Brahman. Is it clear now? Therefore he says, Yaha Brahma Veda, Saha Brahma Eva Bhavati. Then, Na Asya Abrahma Vitkule Bhavati. Not only the person who knows becomes Brahman, even anything, anybody, in his family also, later on, will not be a part of the family, which is, you know, who do not have high cognitive skills. Abrahmavit kule na bhavati. Abrahmavit kulam means what now? People who are ignorant of Brahman are called Abrahmavit kulam. Okay? The people, a group of people who are ignorant of Brahman is said to be what now? Abrahmavit kulam. Not only he becomes Brahman himself, not only he is Brahman himself, even anybody else belonging to him also does not become ignorant. The associate of Brahmavit also becomes Brahmavit. How? Don't think if you associate yourself Brahmavit, you become Brahmavit. Association with the Brahmavit will help you become a Brahmavit. Yes, how? No? Associating oneself with the Brahmavit will make an associated person also a Brahmavit. Isn't it? Then, so that Brahmavit, then what now? He doesn't become part of a Brahmavit. He doesn't become part of the ignorant people. The Asya Abrahmavit Kule Nabhavati. None of his associates, none of his things, none of his belongings will be part of the ignorant people. Abrahma vidkule na bhavati. Na asya vidushaha Abrahma vidkule bhavati. He says, tarati shokam, tarati papmanam. He says, such a brahmavit, shokam tarati. Look at this, shokam tarati. Shokaha means grief, shokaha means sorrow, and show any degree of pain is called what? Shokaha. And shokaha is purely emotional here. We're talking about shokam tarati. He crosses sorrow means he becomes free from sorrow. Sorrow is an object. He is very objective towards sorrow. He understand now. He becomes free from sorrow means don't think jnanis don't have any shoka at all. Shoka may be there, but shokam does not afflict the person, affect the person. Why? Because of his objectivity. Isn't it? Shokam tarati means he becomes free from grief means how? Becoming objective, being objective is being free, not undoing something. Okay? Being objective is being free. Being subjective is being bound. So, shokam tarati means he crosses sorrow means his object, because of his objectivity, sorrow is a state of mind which is part of the mind and which is an anatma, which is so as atma chaitanyam is completely untouched, untainted by sorrow, and sorrow is something, a state of mind which shines in the presence of chaitanyam brahma consciousness. Actually consciousness in the presence of which the sorrow has its existence, sorrow shines, that sorrow cannot afflict or touch the Atma Chaitanyam. And I the self am the Chaitanyam. If the understanding is there, you don't become the sufferer of sorrow. You become objective towards the sorrow. So you are free from sorrow. Is it clear now? Because only in jnanam objectivity is possible. Only in being objective you can be free. There is no freedom without being objective. Objectivity is freedom. Please understand, it is very important. And objectivity is possible only in jnanam. There is no objectivity possible without jnanam. There is no freedom without objectivity. So in objectivity, you are free. If you are objective, you are free. And only in jnanam, you can be objective. No, I am not, I don't know, but still very objective. That is not possible. Okay, but you can say simply all those things, all saying, simply saying things, okay. We always, people say a lot of things. We have very, very limited perception of things they have, and then they decide, come to the conclusion, and they talk about it also. I tell you, sometimes we do not know things really. Not that we are doing it knowingly. That is why it's accommodate. We can accommodate anything because we do things unknowingly, not knowingly. But it is as a part of the Shastra teaching, as a Shastra teacher, I have to tell you this. We have to be very, very careful in talking about anything, in saying anything, because unknowingly we are triggering some problems of other people. I mean, which really, what happens now? Lot of commotions and disturbances, because everyone has one's own baggage, etc. Be very careful, because we, with limited understanding, the limited perception of things, we should not say, oh, this is how things are, this is how it is. We shouldn't make any, you know, whatever you per se, you can keep it for yourself. Nothing wrong. But don't jump onto the conclusions immediately. Because our perceptions is not complete and total. We always may go wrong. So here, that is why only in jnanam, until jnanam takes place, you cannot have objectivity at all. It is very important. Only in jnanam, you can't help being objective. Jnanam, association is not there with the body, mind's complex cognition. You know 100% very clearly, isn't it? I am awareness. I am pure consciousness. You know, when it is very clear, in that knowledge, definitely objectivity is possible. In objectivity, you are free. Isn't it? That is why we say shokam tarati. And what is shoka? How does he become free from shoka? Shokaha is always possible where there is mohaha. Shoka moho. Shoka goes with the moha. If there is mohaha, there will be shokaha. Grief is inevitable in a place where there is mohaha. What is mohaha? Delusion. What is delusion? Lack of viveka. What is viveka? Discriminative knowledge. Therefore, what is moha? Lack of discriminative knowledge is delusion. In Sanskritam, mohaha. Mohaha is there. Shokaha will definitely be there. This person, shokam tarati, means he is already free from moha also. He has resolved his delusion. How? By having discriminative knowledge. He is very clear, Atma Anatma Vivekaha. He has Atma Anatma Viveka Jnanam. He clear knowledge he has, and he knows Anatma is Mithya, Atma is Satyam, and he knows Anatma is not outside of Atma. He knows very well all that is there is only Atma, which is Brahman. That is Atma is Brahma, Brahman is Atma. This vision is very clear. In that vision of oneness of reality, the vision of the oneness of totality, he becomes what now? There's no I sense sitting separately on him, therefore he is free from his objective. That objectivity, he is free from shokaha. Okay? Ajnane mohaha, mohe shokaha. Where there is ignorance, there will be moha, there will be shoka also. And ajnanam is resolved, ignorance is resolved, moha is resolved, delusion is resolved, then naturally shoka also will be resolved. Therefore, shokam tarati. He becomes free from shoka. Crosses the, all literal language, okay? He crosses the sorrow. That means what now? He passes, crosses across, goes across. Isn't it? Crosses the sorrow. Shokam tarati also, what now? Samsara sagarat vimuktaha bhavati. He becomes free from this ocean of samsara. Shokam tarati, so he says here, papmanam tarati, not only that he shokam tarati, papmanam tarati, he becomes free from all papas. All papani means what now? Punyam and papam. He becomes free from papam, he becomes free from punyam also is papam according to Shastram. Why? Because punyam also brings you back to enjoy pleasures. Therefore, punyam, because punyam also results in Pural Janma, punyam also is counted as what now? Papam only. Any knife will cut. Okay, golden knife also will cut. Therefore, what now? Similarly, punyam also will bring you back to this world to exhaust the pleasures. Punyam. Therefore, punyam also papa means, so papmanam tarati means, this wise person becomes free from both punya papa, all his punya papas, because he is completely free from enjoyership. I am the enjoyer. Aham bhokta. That buddhi is not there. Aham bhokta, that is not there. Why aham bhokta is not there? Aham bhokta, I am enjoyer. That notion is not there anymore. That notion is possible only if the identity is with the mind. If identity is with the mind, then identity with the other associates of the mind also is possible. Then identity with the body also is possible. Then there will be definitely a notion, I am the enjoyer. Then he will have punya papa. But this person is free from the notion, I am the enjoyer. Aham bhokta, I am the enjoyer. That notion is not there anymore. Why it is not there? Therefore, he is free. He doesn't have punyam also, papam also. Why it is not there? Because aham is not there anymore. Where has aham gone? It has not gone anywhere. It is resolved. It is resolved where? In awareness. As what? When you say aham is equal to Brahma, aham is equal to consciousness, then that is what now? Resolving I in the totality, individuality in totality, resolving I in Brahman. Wave is equal to water, if you say, resolving, that's what wave being resolved in water. I is equal to what now? Consciousness, when you say, aham is equal to consciousness, Brahma, when you say, resolving one's identity, resolving or losing one's essence, resolving one's identity, essence in consciousness, Brahman, by recognizing one's own sorupam, then what happens? I is not there anymore. I is not there anymore means what? Don't say I has gone somewhere. Isn't it? This is called resolving. When I is resolved means I is not there anymore for him to claim aham karta, aham bhokta. Aham is not there. Therefore, aham cannot be claimed as I am enjoyer, I am doer. I must be there for the I to be identified with the body mentions complex, thereby to say I am karta, aham bhokta, etc. He cannot claim himself to be bhokta. He cannot claim himself to be anymore as karta. Why? Because identity is not there with the body mentions complex. Why? Because I is not even there. Not even there means what? It is there, but it is enlightened ego. What is enlightened ego? Enlightened ego means the truth of I is equal being consciousness, Brahman is very clear. Therefore, it is resolved. Is it clear now? Just how it's all a notion. Aham karta, aham bhokta, the notion is there. My God, you have all punya papas. You have all the debts. If you shift the notion, we resolve the notion, I am karta, bhokta, that how can you resolve? Only by recognizing a sorupam, isn't it? By resolving I sense in Brahman, the consciousness. Then you lose a wrong identity, you are free from the wrong notions, you are karta, bhokta, then you are free from punya papa. This is how papmanam tarati. Understand now? Papmanam tarati. Don't think a miracle happens. No miracle happens. No mystic power comes and does something. No mysticism works. No miracle works. It's purely your clearing your confused mind. This clouded mind, confused mind, clearing the confused mind is what? Jnanam here. You become overnight free. In jnanam you are free, in ajnanam you are bound. Sarati shokam atmavit. So, shokam tarati atmavit comes elsewhere. Okay, came up my mind. So, shokam tarati, he crosses sorrow means he becomes free from sorrow, he becomes free from all his punya papas. Then what happens? Guha, see, look at the system, store base, one by one he goes now. Guha grantibhyaha vimuktaha bhavati. Vimuktaha bhavati means what now? He becomes free for good. Muktaha bhavati, he becomes relieved. He becomes released. He becomes liberated. He becomes freed. From what? How? Vimuktaha. He becomes freed for good. From what? Grantibhyaha. Grantihi means knot. Grantibhyaha means from knots. What are the knots here? So many knots, entangled with each other. Very difficult to, unentangle the knots. Know that? All the knots, so many knots are there. Granthe. Where are the granthis? These knots are where? Guhayam. In your own mind, emotional entanglement is called what now? Guha grantayaha. Okay? Guha grantibhyaha. From the knots of the emotional entanglement, mind, knots of the mind. You have this one knot. You know? What is the beginning of the knot? Ignorance. One knot. When you remove one knot, first one knot happens, it makes so many knots. It's even to untie, remove the knots of the thread, you know how difficult it is. One knot will create another knot, so many knots. Ignorance is the first knot, isn't it? When you release, one knot is released, it is like a simple stitch in our, one stitch, one knot if you remove, you can remove all the knots will wear apart, fall apart. All the knots will go. All entanglement. I sense, my sense, doership, enjoyership and sense of possession and passion and desire and anger and the smallness and then all making efforts to prove oneself to be better than other. All these knots, all emotional problems, all the restlessness, all the agitations, all of them called guha grantha, knots of the mind. So this person's mind becomes a clean mind, free from all upheavals, free from all these knots of the mind. Ignorance and ignorance born other problems, all these are what now? The mental turbulence caused by ignorance, and all these, he is free from the knots of ignorance, and ignorance caused other knots of shoka, moha, etc. So, guha grantibhyaha vimuktaha bhavati. He becomes free from the knots of the mind, including ignorance. He is free. He is free from mind. He is free from the hold of mind. What does it mean by saying, being free, freeing oneself from the hold of mind? You never hold on to anything. Why? Consciousness does not hold on to anything. Other things hold on to you. Ignorance is holding on to you. Everything, desire is holding on to you. Anger is holding on to you. So you free yourself from the hold of all those things, isn't it? That is why you don't, how do you free yourself from the hold of all those things? They will all be holding on to you if there is ajnanam. In jnanam, they can't hold you anymore. What is that which make them hold on to you? Just the ignorance. Ignorance makes them hold on to you. You don't hold on to them. That is why you can't give up also. Give up ahankara. Give up ignorance. Give up desire. You can never give up anything. What are you for you to give up? Isn't it? Who are you to give up anything? In ignorance, they're all holding on to you. In jnanam, they relieve you. You're always free. So he says, this context, guha grantibhyaha vimuktaha bhavati. He becomes free from all the knots of ignorance. And not only that, amrutaha bhavati. He becomes immortal. He becomes immortal means, while living itself, he exhausts his prarabdha. While living, he is free from sanchita agami karmas. He exhausts his prarabdha. And after death, he sukshma is not there, as we have already seen. Therefore, he cannot be born again. He need not be born again. Because he is not born again, he is not going to die again. Simple thing. Amrutaha bhavati. If you are born, definitely you will die. If you are not at all born, how will you die? Understand now? Why you are not born? You must be there for you to be born. You are not there anymore. Why you are not there anymore? Because all your aspects have been resolved. How have they been resolved? Because mind has been resolved. What does it mean? All your desires have been resolved. Why desires are all resolved? Because there is fullness. How there is fullness? Because identity is not with the body, mind, and complex. Why identity is not with body, mind, and complex? Because identity is with Atma Chaitanyam. Why identity is with Atma Chaitanyam? Because we recognize the Atma Chaitanyam as the reality. So what now? It can't be born. In fact, Ramana Maharshi says, you know, he simply says in Tamil, Sethupo. That means, well, go and die. He simply says, go and die means what? If this, every time we die, dying again, be born again, dying again, being born again, that is not death. Now, what is real death? When a sukshma resolves for good, that is actually the final death. When a sukshma resolves, that is the final death. Why final death? You can't come back anymore. The death after which you need not be born again, that is actual death. That death is what? Having your sukshma resolved. But many people don't like it. Idea. They want to come back again. Okay, this time I was born in England, next time I want to be born in... not in Africa, maybe some other place. Oh, not in Uganda and Kenya, no more, not at all. So everybody, you know, we used to talk, young girls used to talk, my friends and all that. So where do you want to be born again, suppose next Janma? Yeah? We used to talk. And I had some friends, so crazy friends like me. No, one girl will say, no, I really want to be born in Tanjavur. And I want to be born, you know, I want to be studying with Vedanta, the music with Araja Swami. And I want to really marry a person like Mandana Mishra. And I want to live like, you know, these are people, young girls, have their own. I used to enjoy that company, how you used to say that. No, I really love that life. You know, I want to be born here. One girl says, no, I want born a boy, I want to study all Vedas with this traditional scholar. Because now I'm a woman, a girl, they don't teach me. Because girls are not taught Veda mantras in India. Traditional school, they won't teach. You know, like that, we have some problems. So, because what are they exposed to? What are high ideals? They want to be born like that. But I tell you, who really know all these things, what is that for? What is that life for? What is that you want to be born again for? What is that you want, whatever you want to be born as, you know? Ultimately, if you say, you think that make you happier. Never. Okay? That happiness, ultimately, what you want is happiness. That happiness is very you. Unless and until you recognize that happiness, there is no happiness. there seems to be some happiness that is not actually happiness, that is pain mixed, what now, pleasure. Isn't it? Then once you discover happiness, fullness, and you would have gone by then. Then discovering fullness, your essence will be resolved in fullness. Therefore, what now? Once essence is resolved, you are not there for the desire, anger, etc. to hold on to you. Isn't it? If the mic must be here for me to hold on to here. It is taken away, means what can I hold on to? I can simply keep like this. Nothing is there to hold on to. Isn't it? Suppose I am holding on to this, means it is there, so I am holding on to this. If it is taken away, what can I hold on to? Nothing. Similarly, I sense must be there, then desire can come and hold on to I. Anger can come and hold on to I. Holding on to I means what? They all can be there. Anger, desire, jealousy, smallness, problems, and all, you know, the restlessness, agitation, and fear, anxiety, tension, all these things can come and hold on to you if you are there sitting. If you disappear yourself, how can they be? Those who hold on to you also will disappear along with you. You means what? I sense. Is it clear now? Essence will not there. How will essence resolve? If you really know what this I actually is. What this I is? It's typically like questioning what this wave is all about. This is a name or this form. Where does it come from? What is the origin of it? Where does it exist? How long does it exist? What happens to it when it is not there? Where does it resolve? Where is it now? Knowing all about the wave, you will end up in what? H2O. Finished. That's what resolving wave in H2O. Similarly, if analyze what this I is, I actually is a vrittihi. Aham vrittihi. I cognition. Thought, without which other thoughts cannot survive. Other thoughts cannot be there. If you analyze only this I, where does this thought, what is this thought, where does it rise from, where does it exist, where does it resolve? If you analyze, what is the truth of it? What is that without which the thought cannot be there at all? If you analyze, you'll stumble upon its existence, its truth. There's no it's also. It also will go. Isn't it? What now? You will stumble upon the pure consciousness. Is it clear now? Then that is what resolving I in its swarupam. Resolving one's own, discovering one's own swarupam. It's what it means. Discovering one's own swarupam means, have you got it now? In swarupam, by resolving your identity there, then you are not there. If your identity is resolved in consciousness, you are now, essence is not there anymore, available, therefore, these things cannot go and hold on to. You all resolve. Understand now? Therefore, moha goes. This is how the guha grantibhyaha vimuktaha bhavati. These grantis are all liberated. Essence is gone to resolved in chaitanya means. They're all gone. That is what we say. Guha grantibhyaha vimuktaha. Is it clear? Then vimuktaha bhavati. There be what now? Amritaha bhavati. Because mind is not there, thoughts are not there, thoughts are resolved. We have all decided what happens to the pranas, return, become one with the pratishtha, their own. They resolve in their respective Hiranyagarbha. And also what now? all the sense powers, each power, each devata joins its corresponding total power. Therefore, everything is resolved. This is the actual death. A death after which you will not be born again anymore. That is called Amrutaha. Attainment of immortality implies the final death. Final death means a death from which you will not come back again. If you don't want to have the death, don't worry. Bhagavan has already blessed you with the long life. Okay? Amrutaha, but it's only for very special people who ask for it. Don't worry. Some people don't like this. Tarati papmanam, Shankara says, dharma, dharma akhyam guha grantibhyaha, hridaya avidya grantibhyaha, vimuktaha sanne amrutaha bhavati, iti yuktameva vidyate hridaya granthi ityadi. We already studied about this. Vidyate hridaya granthi chidyante asya samshayaha. Remember all those things? Don't remember, we'll remember next class. Don't worry. So, he says, Tadu yetadu richa abhyuktam. Rik means a mantra. Rik means a mantra. Richa means abhay a mantra. Which mantra? A mantra which is following. By that mantra, it has been said. Abhyuktam, it has been said. What has been said? We'll see. Kriyavantah, Shrotriyah, Brahmanishtah, Swayam, Juhvata, Ekarshim, Shraddhayantah, Teshameva, Yetam, Brahma Vidyam, Vadeta, Shirovratam, Vidhivate, Yaistu Chirnam. Okay. At last Upanishad says, who should study Upanishad? You know that. Who should Upanishad be taught? Look at this. He says, because this Mundaka Upanishad comes from Atharva Veda. This is from Atharva Veda Upanishad. You can say you have studied little bit of Atharva Veda. You can say that. You have not studied the entire Atharva Veda. It is like what now? Touching the small finger, you can say, I have touched. Understand now? I have touched that person. By touching a small finger of the person, you can say, I have touched that person. Similarly, by studying Atharva Veda Upanishad, one small Mundaka Upanishad, you can say, I have touched little bit of Atharva Veda. Is Atharva Veda Upanishad? And he says, this Upanishad is called Mundaka Upanishad, isn't it? Mundanam means actually removing the hair, shaving your head. Usually that stands for Sannyasa Ashrama. What does it mean? Only if a person becomes adequately dispassionate and mature. A person's maturity, how do you understand a person is mature? See how, in keeping with the dispassion of the person, you can say this person is mature. Don't mistake people who are frustrated for mature people. Frustrated people are those who are not interested in anything because they know they can't fulfill any of the desires. Therefore, they become frustrated. Dispassionate people means people who have really grown out of desire for many things in the world, knowing their limitations. Just as you all have grown out, you are all highly dispassionate towards your balloons and toys. All of us are, what now? Dispassionate towards balloons. Roger G is not? I do love.
Show me a balloon, I'm a happy man.
He means the big balloon on which you're going.
And I also love balloons. I also love balloon. Okay, I love balloons.
I don't think about it.
I used to carry children to buy balloons so that people won't mistake me. You can this girl goes going buying balloons. So I always carry some children with me and I used to buy things. So I buy for them, I play with them. Now I play with the Kishan, you know. So I get it. Now what I'm saying, sometimes when you want to play with some toys, you can't play by yourself, you know. What will they say? So you pass some children and you play with them. So you also enjoy. Isn't it? That's a trick. Anyway, you know what I'm saying here? Here actually people who really have grown out of desire for things. Naturally, there's a passion. Why? Because they know very well what they want, and what they want cannot be given by other things. Therefore, naturally, they are disinterested in things. If something cannot give me what I want, and I will not be interested at all in that. We become totally disinterested in things which cannot give us what we want. Isn't it? That is called, that is what is actually dispassion. The dispassionate people are said to be mature people. Why? Because they know very clearly what they want. They know what is that which alone can give them what they want. They know knowledge alone will give them what they want. They know other than knowledge, nothing can give them what they want. Therefore, who have, you know, discover dispassion toward other things, they are the dispassionate people, are the mature people. And mature people, they, as expression of the dispassion toward other things, the commitment is only towards knowledge means, they don't mind how they look also. Therefore, they don't mind, they remove their hair. That is one of the things. See, losing one's hair means really, even some identity, isn't it? Muhammad has the guts to remove hair. But still you have okay, that's not a thing. So it's a chirobratam, it's called, no? Then they also remove it, and then they always carry a pot, a cup, the clay pot with actually a lot of fire in it. The fire, the hot, no, coals in it, and they'll carry the fire on the head, and it's a ritual to be performed by Atharva Vedis. When they start studying, and they'll go like that, it's such Atharva Veda, they make a vow that they'll commit to the pursuit of knowledge. That means when the fire is on the head, how it will be? They would like to get rid of it as soon as possible, isn't it? Their desire for moksha is so burning desire for moksha always expressed through that. And then, and that's a ritual, okay, don't take it seriously. Actually, now in Gurukulam, yesterday we would have done in our Gurukulam, all the young boys, and suppose people like Aditya, they all, of course, now we have small palanquin for Swamiji. One day they'll take Swamiji, all the young big men will get, you know, they'll take Swamiji, like Guru, they'll bring him around. Especially we do it when before Brahmasutra classes begin. But not today, I mean, yesterday, when usually the course ends, before even all the other classes are over, at last Swamiji will start Brahmasutra classes. And then that day, they will have the ceremony. They will take, like palanquin, they will bring him around. It will be nice to see that. Anyway, it's a small thing, not very important anyway. I'm saying, like that we have rituals. So here, Shirovratam also, what now? Such people who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and for such people here, for them, they only should study Shastram. We will see that. Kriyavantaha श्रोत्रियाः ब्रह्मनिष्ठाः स्वयं जुह्वत एकर्षिम् श्रद्धयन्तः तेषामेव ब्रह्मविद्या एताम् ब्रह्मविद्यां वदेत शिरोव्रतम् विधिवत् यैः तु चीर्णम् ओके सो ब्रह्मविद्यां वदेत Vadeta means may one speak, may one reveal. May one reveal this knowledge of Brahman. Brahma Vidyam Vadeta means may the teacher teach this Brahma, give this Brahma Vidya to whom? Is it Brahma Vidyam? May the teacher give this knowledge to whom he says Vadeta Buryat. Shiro Vivratam. No, Shirovratam, no? Vidhivat yaihitu chirnam. Shirovratam chirnam. By whom it has been, the Shirovratam has been done properly by whom? Only for those people who have done this Shirovratam properly. What does it mean? Shirovratam means, he says, Shad Kriyavanta. Who are the people here? Kriyavantaha. Kriyavantaha means Yathokta Karma Anushtana Yuktaha. Kriyavanta means those who have done whatever has to be done. Yatha Karma Anushtana Yuktaha. Those who have done their duties properly, those who have done their things correctly, those who have done what has to be done properly, they are called what now? Kriyavantaha. Not simply idle people, lazy people who have not achieved anything, who have not done anything. Not such people. Those who have lived their lives properly. That's the meaning. Okay? Those who have lived their lives properly are the people who would have done what has to be done. This is such Kriyavantaha. Then, Shrotriyaha. Shrotriyaha means, Brahmanishta, Apara Brahmani. Abhiyuktaha. Shrotriyaha here means, Shrotriyaha literally means those who have profound knowledge of the Shastra, you can say, and here those who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge also, who are really inclined for listening, also Shrotriyaha. Okay, Shrotriyaha. Then, Brahmanishtaha. Brahmanishtaha, here Brahmanishtaha means those who are given to the practice of meditation in this context. Those who are given to the practice of meditation. Apara Brahmani Abhiyuktaha. So, in this context, the people must be what? People must be highly inclined for listening to the Shastram. People must have lived a life of meditation, must have been given to the practice of meditation. People must have lived their lives properly, doing what has to be done. Who have not shirked their responsibilities and duties, who have done their duties properly. Such people, look at this, they only will be qualified for Vedanta Shravanam. Look at this, Kriyavantaha. Kriyavantaha, Shrotriyaha, Brahmanishtaha. These, here you shouldn't mistake them for Jnani, wise people. These are qualifications, see, the qualified Jnani also is said to be Shrotriyaha, Brahmanishtaha. Before Jnanam, one who wants to study, open himself, said to be what now? Shrotriyaha, Brahmanishtaha. Here Brahmanishtaha means not the one who remains steadfast in knowledge of Brahman, the one who is given to the practice of Upasanam. It means one who has lived a disciplined life. All the three words implies a person being a highly disciplined disciplined. So Brahmanishtaha, Shrotriyaha, then Kriyavantaha, isn't it? Kriyavan Purusha. These three words imply the student of Vedanta being highly disciplined. Highly disciplined means what is the height of the discipline? Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha. You can easily say that. Okay? Here Upanishad puts it differently. What is Kriyavan, Shrotriyaha, Brahmanishtaha is equal to Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha. Highly disciplined. Is it clear? Why? Because one will become a sadhana chatushtaya sampatti is possible. How will you have nitya nitya anitya vivastu vivekaha? How will you have dispassion, vairagyam? How will you have, isn't it? So, those are all possible only if you live your life properly. One has to live one's life properly by doing lots of things. So, kriyavan purushaha. A man of discipline who would have done lot of things, social service activities, or that activities, looking after family, that and this, much people, kriyavan purushaha. And a person who has also lived a certain discipline in a life of practice, meditation, etc. Such a person who is highly inclined for knowledge also. Swayam juhvata. Such people, Param Brahma Bhutsavaha. These people, Param Brahma Bhutsavaha means those who are seriously wanting to know Brahman, those who want to know the reality. Those people who want Bhutsavaha means Jigyasavaha. Those who want to know Brahman, those who have lived a life of meditation, those are given to the practice of meditation, those have lived their lives properly, those are highly disciplined, inclined for knowledge, and such people, and mature people, dispassionate people, and people of fourfold qualifications, such people, swayam yekarshim juhvata. Juhvati, juhvate. We what now? Yekarshinama agnim. Yekarshi nama is the name of the Agni. Yekarshi means what now? It's the name of the fire. What is the fire here? They perform this ritual called Yekarshi, and for which they do go what now? They go carrying the fire on their head also. They carry the fire on their head and they perform this ritual called Yekarshi. And how? Shraddhayantaha, with great Shraddha they do. Shraddhayantaha. Okay, only for such people, tesha meva brahma vidyam vadeta. Brahma vidya should be given to only such people. Shirasi agni dharna lakshanam shirovratam. So, shirovratam vidivate yaihi chirnam. So, those people who have carried the fire in the pot, no, holding the pot on their head, and those who come, that ritual is called Shirovratam. Those who have done that ritual properly, how, having performed the Akrishi ritual with great Shraddha and being interested in knowledge of Brahman, being highly inclined for knowledge, be given to the practice of meditation, having lived their lives properly, the mature, dispassionate people, when they themselves come with great Shraddha, only to such people this Upanishad must be taught. Is it clear now? Is it clear or not? Yekarshihi is a name of the ritual. They perform the ritual. Shirovratam is another thing which they carry the fire in the pot on their head. Okay? And they perform the ritual. They go this, as it has been prescribed in the Shastram, they carry this fire, they perform this ritual also. And how? With the earnest love for knowledge, bhutsavaha, desire for knowledge of Brahman, and highly inclined for knowledge, and also given certain practice of meditation, and those who have done lot of things in their lives, those who are highly disciplined, only for such people may one teach Upanishad. Immediately don't lose your heart. Okay. I have not done anything. I am not a Kriyavan. I am not Shrotriya. I am not Brahmanishtha. Let me not come to next class. It is not for that. It is said here, if you were not there all this, at least from hereafter, you see you become a Kriyavan. You see you become a Shrotriya. You see you become Brahmanishtha. You see you become Sadhana Chatushti Sampanna. Not to immediately close your mind. Thank God, I don't need to come for this class anymore. I'm escaping from Swaminiji. It's a repetition, boring class. No more. That is not intended here. What is intended here? If you are not qualified also, at least take care of your qualification before you get ready for another Upanishad. Is it clear now? Nice verse. Read the verse now. Yaha Brahma Veda Tat Paramam Brahma Veda Tate Paramam Brahma Veda Brahmaiva Bhavati Asya Abrahma Vitkule Nabhavati Tarati Shokam Tarati Papmanam Guha Grantibhyaha Vimuk Taha Bhavati Amrutaha Bhavati Tade Yetate Satyam Tade Yetate Aksharam Purusham. Okay. Tade Yetate Satyam Rishihi Angiraha Purovacha Na Yetade Achir Navrataha Adhite. He says, this is Satyam, this Aksharam, you know, Aksharam Brahma. Isn't Aksharam the absolute reality, is the only reality, Satyam? Rishihi Angiraha Nama. And Rishi is who now? Who is the Rishi of this Upanishad? Angiras. The Angiraha is a Pura Uvacha. The Rishi Angiras had said long ago, Yetade Achirna Vrataha Na Adhite. No. Achirna Vrataha means the one who has not made such vow, one who has not done this ritual, the performing that ritual of the Shraddha itself implies a person being Kriyavan, Brahmanishtaha, Shrotriyaha. If that person is not, then means Sahana Adhite, he does not study. That means what? See that one who has not done this ritual does not study this. What does it mean? The performance of ritual implies the mentality one should have. Isn't it? What bent of mind, what thought pattern one should have. Let me be very clear. Isn't it? Now don't think immediately, oh, we are not performing ritual and all that. Don't worry about it. Okay? We know we can't perform the ritual anymore now. It only that the performance of ritual, etc., only states how important it is for the one to be committed to the study of Upanishad. Other without commitment, without Shraddha, if Upanishad is studied, means it is such a waste of time. Nothing will work. Isn't it? The ritual is not emphasized here. The thought pattern, the mindset, the commitment, the Shraddha, the maturity. I want jnanam, that desire. That is what is emphasized here. If that is not there, sahana adhite, he doesn't study this. Who said? Angiras. When did he say? Pura. Okay? Now we'll all say namaskaram to all rishis. Namah paramarishibhyo. Namah paramarishibhyo. Namah paramarishibhyo. Paramarishibhyo namaha. Our salutations to all our great, great, great you know, exalted rishis and sages, the men of vision, great men of vision. Namah Paramarishibhyah. Namah Paramarishibhyah.
Namah Paramarishibhyah.
Yes. Now we all should say Badram Karne Bihi. Because that, what does it mean? We never end. We begin. That is the meaning. Until Jnanam. Om Bhadram Karne Vishrunuyama Devaha Bhadram Pashye Maksha Bharya Jatraha Sthirai Rangai Istushtu Bhagam Sastanu Bihi Vyashema Devahi Tayyadayuhu Swastina Indro Vriddhashravaha Swastina Pusha Vishravedaha Swasti nastarkshyo arishtanemihi, swasti no brihaspatir dadhatu, om shanti shanti shantihi, om arihi om tatsat, shri gurubhyo namaha, harihi om. So next class, we'll have summary of the Upanishads. The Upanishad we'll have. And also, I'll see that you memorize the verses here in the class, important mantras. We'll see that. And before that, now I give you time for you to ask any questions you have.
So many of these, under normal circumstances, when you say Brahman is there, it's one who is established in Brahman.
Yeah.
But in this context, in Mantra 10, is the one who has...
One is given the practice of meditation.
Yes, knowledge of... Yeah.
Practice of meditation.
Yeah.
See, yeah, please listen carefully. Generally, a teacher's qualification, we say who is the teacher, if you say, the qualification of the teacher is said to be Shrotriyatvam and Brahmanishtyam, okay? Brahmanishtha. So, Brahmanishtha means one who remains steadfast in the vision of Brahman. That means what? One who has doubt-free clear knowledge of the subject matter of the Shastra. Thereby, one who knows the methodology, one who has the method of unfoldment, one who knows Sampradaya, is it? He is Brahmanishtaha. One who has clear vision, thereby one who knows, one whose subject matter of the Shastra is very clear, and he knows the methodology, and he has such a pretty Brahmanishtaha. And then Shrotriha means, how does he become Brahmanishtaha? Is it without having studied also a person becomes Brahmanishtaha? It is because of his Janmantra Samskara. And he cannot become a teacher. But Shrotriha means one who has heard abundantly text after text after text after text after text. One who has heard a lot. Thoroughly studied, isn't it? Tattvabodha not tat, one tattvabodha itself, we become very tired. We know everything. What is the nothing is happening? Nothing is happening. Nothing will happen. Nothing should not happen. That is why you are simply neaten in the class. No experience, nothing. Don't think one day something is going to happen. If you look for some experience, it will be a flop. Isn't it? You are. The one who is seeking is the everything. Isn't it? That's all. Therefore, Brahma Shrotriha means one who has profound knowledge of Shastras. This is the qualification of a teacher, usually we say, and be more wise person also. But here in this sloka, Brahmanishtaha means Apara Brahmani, now Yuktaha means what now? One who is given to the practice of meditation, and one who is also what now? One who has really lived a life of Karma Yoga. Kriyavan means what now? Who is the one who has lived his life properly? Immediately you think, oh, Kriyavan means a man of actions means what? We must have accomplished that and this, at least you must have got at least two PhDs. Oh. one who has lived a clean life of karma yoga. One might have accomplished something, one might not have accomplished anything at all, doesn't matter. A person who has lived his life a clean, righteous, ethical life of karma yoga. The proper attitude. He is kriyavan. And he is also given to a calm, simple, worship, practice of worship and meditation, etc. Kriyavan, brahmanishtaha, shrotriyaha, and really ears are ready for taking any amount of shastra vishya, shrotriyaha. That's a person. Also what now? Soyam shirovratam juhvatana with shraddha, one who also what now? This one who follows this ritual, and only for such a person it should be given. That is said.
Because of the association of I, that discipline we looked at with Drigdrishya Viveka Samadhi, Aham Param Chaitanya, is to be practiced really, because that is that not the Paramam Riti? Is it not the highest Riti to have that contemplation, Aham?
Yeah.
And then that will do the untying of Papam, untying of Shokam. That itself is
Actually, that what he says, of course, contemplation only will result in clear knowledge, isn't it? See. That's why I said, I also put another thing. Contemplation is constantly reminding oneself of the fact about oneself, which you know already, because of Shravanamanam, isn't it? So, that is what is contemplation. That contemplation, how long will you be reminding yourself of the fact? One day, see, come on, I know very well, I don't need to remind myself of that. There is a time when you don't need to remind yourself of the fact about yourself. That is called ascertained vision. In that vision only, you become completely free from sorrow. See, even while contemplating itself, you are free. But once you don't remind yourself of the fact, again you seem to be bound. Isn't it? So, there is a time when you don't need to remind yourself of anymore. That is called ascertained vision. Then, one becomes free. Really, shokam tarati, papanam tarati, guha granti bhyaha vimuktaha bhavati. Isn't it? That is why one simple sentence, manayeva manushyanam karanam bandhamo chayo. Where is the bandha? Where is the mokshaha? All in your mind. It is all the whole, all of you, whatever which needs all total attention, your own mind needs all attention. And small pain here takes all the attention here. Similarly, what is that really, any one small pain takes attention. Really speaking, Bhagavan says, you pay all your attention to your mind. Everything will be fine. Attention to mind means what? What is this mind? What is it doing? What is this sorrow? What is this? Why it is here? Why this thing? Why is unpleasantness? Why this is thing? Isn't it? It is. So in vision, shoka is not it. It is not it. When you are contemplating, there is no shoka taranam. In contemplation also, you are relatively free. In contemplation, you are relatively free as long as you remind yourself of the fact what you are free. The minute you forget, you are again not free. Whereas in jnanam, you are free. You are absolutely free. In ascertained vision, you are absolutely free. In contemplation, while contemplating, you are relatively free. Contemplation is constant, you are constantly free. Isn't it? But contemplation stops, isn't it? So it can't stop. So contemplation, once you start, you can't leave it. It will result in what? It will result in a state that you don't need to remind yourself of anymore. Isn't it? Yeah. See how easy it is for you. Do you need to remember, I am sitting here. I am sitting here in number 14 Woodstock Gardens. I am sitting here in number 14 Woodstock Gardens. Dream, remind yourself how free you are. How that now, I am sitting here in Woodstock Gardens. Do you need to remind yourself? Isn't it? It's so clear. Similarly, what you are must be so clear. Okay.
It's in the same area. In his commentary on the Gita, Swamiji, he says there is a riti.
Yeah.
That when it arises, it removes ignorance. He says consciousness doesn't remove the ignorance.
No.
This riti, yeah. And he says it has the same form as the Atma. That's what it says. I mean, it may be.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering.
The form of the Atma means Atma doesn't have any form, isn't it? Actually, that's called Akhanda Akara Vritti Jnanam. Say it now. Akhanda Akara Vritti Jnanam. Jnanam itself is a vrittihi. What is a vrittihi? A thought modification is vrittihi. What is jnanam? Knowledge of anything is nothing but a thought, isn't it? So knowledge is always of a given object. So knowledge of any given object also is a thought. So also knowledge of the reality, the subject also is what now? A thought only. Knowledge of any object is a thought. So also knowledge of subject also is what now? Thought only. Is it clear now? And then, that is called Akhandakara Vritti Jnanam. So consciousness does not attain moksha. Consciousness does not attain knowledge. Consciousness has nothing to do with the here. Only thing is, there is ignorance of what consciousness is. When you recognize, there is recognition of consciousness, or the cognition of consciousness, that's all. That cognition is called what? Vrittihi. For example, I tell you one thing. This is mic, when you say, there is a mic vrittihi. Mic vrittihi. This is tumbler, when you say, there is tumbler vrittihi. Already, I taught you in the Driktrishya class, what is perception, isn't it? You can never see an object will be, even if you are seeing it in front of you, this object will be as good as non-existent if there is no cognition in your buddhi. Isn't it? I told you. Now how all of you are seeing this plastic tumbler now in my hand? I say, what is this? You all say, this is a tumbler. How do you say, all of you see this tumbler? And how? Because your netra vrittihi, your netra vritti, the cognition, tumbler cognition already is there. The mouth of thought. Tumbler cognition is already there in the mouth of thought. And the tumbler cognition, what happens now, goes, isn't it, as a netra vritti, through the eyes, it comes out. Isn't it? What happens now? The tumbler, it sees tumbler, and in the light of the netra vritti, you recognize this is tumbler. All the cognition is there. You say, exists tumbler is. Tumbler cognition is, therefore tumbler is. Tumbler cognition is not there, even if the tumbler is not. Is it clear now? So you have a tumbler akara vrittihi. You have tumbler akara vritti. There is a knowledge of the tumbler. Knowledge, cognition of tumbler is called what now? Tumbler akara vrittihi. Knowledge of tumbler is tumbler akara vritti jnanam. knowledge of Mike is Mike Akara Vritti Jnanam. Akaram is what form? There is a knowledge of the form of the Mike. How it looks, what it is. See, recognizing, knowing what it is what now? Having the knowledge of that is called Akara Jnanam. That is form. Knowledge of a given form is said to be Akara Vritti Jnanam. Tumbler is when you say, there is Tumbler Akara Vritti Jnanam. Mike is when you say, Mike Akara Vritti Jnanam. Curtain is means curtain akara vritti jnanam. You have cognition for which the form is what? Knowledge for which, what is the subject matter of the knowledge? What is the matter of the knowledge? Vishya. This is, isn't it? Curtain. Now, lily akara vritti, oh, little heat, my God. Lily gets scorched.
Look at the
poor lily. Okay, now lily akara vritti jnanam. Lily? We said lilies are. Lilies are means lily akara vritti jnanam. There again, we say petal when you say petal akara vritti jnanam. Then you can say, oh, very fragrant. Then what now? Not for I know. No? Now we have what now? Fragrance akara vritti jnanam. Fragrance is the form. Fragrance akara vritti jnanam. Does fragrance has a form or what? No. The form, the smell is the form. Smell form, form form, sound form. Different forms, isn't it? The vritti jnanam of different forms. Sound form, form form, formless form, isn't it? Different forms. Now smell, color form also. You can say what now, sorry? Now, varna akara vritti jnanam. Thought doesn't have a color. But there's a cognition of a given vastu means all about it. That's like how much ever cognition is there, you can talk about it. You can say what? Name of the flower. You can say flower is. Because it's a cognition of flower. What a color of the flower? Okay. Yellow. You can say yellow, a sandal paste color. And what is the fragrance, how it looks? You can say long petals. All. What is the botanical name of it? No cognition.
Are those cognitions the nama? Are those cognitions the nama?
No, cognition, we express it, it becomes a word, isn't it?
Yeah.
A word is a, becomes a name.
No. And then there's a root part that is recognized.
No, rupa means, not the cognition itself, I say, then I said, now, pushpa akara vritti jnanam means what? Pushpa akara vritti jnanam means, flower akara vritti jnanam means, cognition of the flower. Isn't it? Cognition of the flower is called, flower akara vritti jnanam. And that is there. Immediately you see this. Rose akara vritti jnanam. Rose milk akara vritti jnanam.
But if you haven't learned the name rose, you would look at it and you would see it. Mm. You would see the form, but you wouldn't have the name rose.
No, no, it's a pushpa, some flower. Mm. Now, that's something, whatever cognition is there, how, you can see only how much you know here. Mm. That is the problem here. Yeah. You only see as much as you see here. That is the whole problem, isn't it? That is why always we don't see everything. See, we see outside only, you know, we say, that's why how big is a container, so much you can carry. Isn't it? How much you know here, that much only you see outside. Now, suppose I come here, until I came to this country, never knew what leeks is. Leek. The leek plant. I didn't know it was eatable or edible also. Then onion smell was so stinking and all that. I was keeping it a little for some time. You know? And now what I'm saying here, if you don't know, you're not used to, exposed to it at all. I never knew about it. I never knew about this leek until I came to this country. To be frank. Because in India, I don't think we ever cooked it. It is not grown there. It is not brought there. Maybe it's simple also. Maybe some people may know because we don't eat onions. So we don't even buy. And maybe available. Maybe because we don't eat onions. So because we all this the families, we don't eat, so we don't even buy onions also. You know, onion I know, but we don't eat, so we don't know. Maybe. Now what I'm saying, and the vritti, so I never knew, for me, there was no jnanam, vritti jnanam, cognition of leak. Now I tell everybody, I see, come on, leak. Why? Now I know all by hearing, isn't it? Once I have the jnanam here, then I see it outside, isn't it? Vritti. Somehow you know, come to know, but anyway, what I'm saying here, the jnanam must be here first. Only then you see it outside. So we say, leak akara vritti jnanam, varna akara, color akara vritti jnanam. You see the color. A given form, when you say, okay, when you say flower akara vritti jnanam means all about the flower, the knowledge, the color, the shape, the petals, number of petals, the stamen, and then size, shape, everything, you just get an idea. It's called akara, all about this. How much ever you know. We not know too much about it, isn't it? That is, Swamiji always say, we always say, knowledge of any object is incomplete. Why? How much ever you know, still so many things you can know about it. Taking is one cell, you can do whole life, spend your whole life doing PhD. You can go on again for new PhD also. One cell you can take and then you can live your life, whole life, getting 3 more PhDs. Still there will be some unknown aspects of the flower. Whereas Brahma Jnanam is complete. In a way, one partless whole, indivisible whole, pure knowledge. Isn't it? There's nothing more to know. Knowledge will be complete. Brahma Jnanam will be complete knowledge. When you know cognition, consciousness, you recognize consciousness as subject of knowledge, not as an object, isn't it? There is a Shastra's methodology, then there is vritti arises. When a consciousness you recognize, the vritti jnanam, how does it arise? With all the study helps you to have that, isn't it? When the vritti arises, then you say what now? Akhanda akara. What is the form of the consciousness? Formlessness is the form of the consciousness. And what is the form of consciousness? Pure knowledge. What is, look, you can say reality in fact. What is the form of the reality? Pure consciousness. How is it? Now you recognize what it is. And how is it? It's the nature of limitlessness. How do you say? It has no beginning, it has no end, etc. It's timeless. Isn't it? Akhandam. Is it divisible? No. Why it is therefore indivisible? Indivisible means what? Now akhanda. Why it is indivisible? Because it is partless. Anything partful is divisible. It is indivisible because it is partless. So partless, therefore what is the, how do I know it? It is pure. How do I know? As very, you see, where I rises, where I stays, where I resolves. There only all other thoughts also rise and stay and resolve only in that. That is the truth, isn't it? When you recognize it, there comes what? Akhanda akara vastu jnanam. Is akhanda akara jnanam, vritti jnanam. Now the thought also becomes of that form. Thought doesn't become that form. There's knowledge of that given form is said to be what now? Knowledge in that form. Pushpa akara vritti jnanam, Mike akara vritti jnanam, Rosemilk akara vritti jnanam. You know, now suppose light is there. Now you see, you have the small mic, you say Mike akara vritti jnanam. And then you ask a light now. What is that light? What is that thing in the presence of which all the opaque objects shine? When I ask you, immediately you have what now? You have think about light, isn't it? Then there is a cognition of light. Then there is a light, akara vritti jnanam. Cognition of light is light, akara vritti jnanam. Vritti doesn't become. There is complete understanding of what light is. And when you say light means, you know, light is one, light is unchanging, light is all pervasive, light is independent. Tomorrow I'll do that. I'm going to do Dakshinamurti Stotram. I'm going to start tomorrow. First shlokam alone I'm thinking of doing tomorrow. You'll see how clear it'll be. You can see the genius, how genius Adishankara Bhagavatpada is. So beautiful he is. So clear mind. Even reading his verse, it looks for us means how his mind would have been. So clear in his verse. We'll see tomorrow. I'm going to start tomorrow the new textbook. We'll start tomorrow. I'll do that one first verse. I'll do the class also. And I'll do the puja. Everything tomorrow before 11:30. 11 o'clock we'll finish. Not 11:30. And then, we'll finish it. And tomorrow we'll starting new textbook. Okay? And if you have Dakshinamurti Stotram, we can please bring you Dakshinamurti Stotram tomorrow. If you have at home. Is it clear now?
The time is 8:30.
We'll start, please be here at 8:15. So don't want to be late tomorrow. If you want to get back soon, then please come early. And by mistake, by chance, I may be a little late also, okay? Not starting, I may end late also. But don't worry about it, please come here. And have you got it now? Have you got the question here? Answered? Vritti Jnanam? That is what Swamiji says here. I think I made it clear. Okay. Otherwise also it will become clear in Dakshinamurti Stotra class. Don't worry. It's over? Everything is over? Okay? Let me complete. Let me say Om Shanti Shanti. You can go now. If you want to go, you can go. If you want to ask questions, they can stay back. Okay? Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So see you all tomorrow, 8:15. At least 8:25. But I don't want to miss Sankalpa. Please all come and join Sankalpa. Yeah, Mom. I'll come and see it today, Neeti, because she's going for holiday tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll come later on.
Okay.
Namaste.
Can Rupal come in? I think I'm walking.